Praise the name of the Lord. With the help of the Lord and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, turn with me, if you will, to Matthew, the fourth chapter, and we'll begin with the first verse. This is a time when Christ was tempted of the devil. And when you're down, when you're depressed, when things aren't going your way, when you're in pain, this is when the enemy comes. This is when he feels he's got you down, so he's going to take advantage of that. In this chapter, we find that Jesus Christ was in the wilderness. He had been fasting 40 days and 40 nights. Can you imagine fasting that long? You and I, we'd probably be underground. But Jesus had to be put in a place where the tempter could come. And then in the third verse, we'll begin. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God," let's stop there. The enemy knows who he is, if thou be the Son of God. He knows he's the Son of God. He's not stupid, but he wants Jesus to think, well, you're not the Son of God. Let's just forget that part. If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He came back with the true verse, the way it was spoken. In Deuteronomy 8:3, we read that verse, that man shall not live by bread alone. Then the devil take him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, once again, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hand they shall bear thee up, lest any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Jesus answered him and said, "It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." When the enemy comes to you and I, are we equipped with the verses that we need at that time? Search your hearts, dear one. That's why I try to tell our young people too. Recite those verses. Know them in your heart, not just reading them. Remember them. Keep them always in your heart. This is how you fight back with the Word of God. The enemy turns it around. He says what he wants to say. But you and I know the verses. And we'll come back with the scripture. If you and I are tempted by the devil, and he will come, if he's going to tempt Jesus Christ, you know he's going to come after you and me. Keep your hearts and your minds open to the Word of God. These are the things that are going to help you. Prayer, faith in him. but the Word of God. The Word of God. So the devil wasn't ready to quit. And he goes on. In the sixth verse. In the eighth verse. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdom of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. That's in Deuteronomy 6:13. These verses are for our help in the times of trouble. If we call upon the Word of God and know it, dear ones, the enemy can't touch you. A lot of times we're down, like the brother fell. He's laying on the floor, and the blood on the floor. He thinks to himself, I could die. But in his heart, he knows, Lord, if you want me, I'm ready. I'm ready to come home with you. The enemy has no power over us, dear ones. We have the armor, the full armor of God. We have the girdle of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, the weapon of prayer. These are our weapons. These are our armor. This is our shield. This is the sword. We can fight back with these things, dear one. The enemy has no power over you. Only if you let him. Only if you let him do these things to you. Christians tend to forget that the enemy has power over the air. He has power over this world. And he doesn't fight you in here. He fights you out there in the world where his power works. This is his battleground. And as the chorus we sang, the battle belongs to the Lord. The battle belongs to him. He'll fight for you. He loves you. But we have to also be in the place we're supposed to be and not somewhere where we're not. Be ready, because he'll attack at any time. If he attacks Jesus Christ, how much more will he come after you and I? The devil has three primary goals. I wrote these down because I wanted to say them properly. First, he wants to destroy the life of every Christian. And we see every day in countries around the world how they want to destroy the Christian. We're infidels, dear ones, to other countries. We are not worthy. That's what they say. They're ready to kill us at the drop of a hat. We heard in Kenya, they were in the mall, and these men came in and began to slaughter people. And they kept asking, "Are you a Christian? Are you Muslim? If you were Christian, they killed you. They killed you because of hatred. The devil put that hatred in these people. Second, he wants to destroy the unity and the purity and the oneness of every Christian home. He tries to separate families, turn one against another. I don't care if it's just a little thing you're talking about or a big thing. When you have an argument in your home because the child wants to do this and the parents want him to do that, don't let it fester, dear ones. The enemy will try and make it fester in their minds and in their hearts. Don't let him separate you. The time is short. The time is short. The enemy knows that the time is coming, and he's out there as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Let it not be you and me, dear ones. Let us fight back with the word of God. Let us fight back with the power of prayer. Let us fight back with the sword of the Spirit. He's not going to stop. There's no way we can stop him. Only God can stop him. Number three, he wants to destroy the work in the church by eroding our ministries, trying to discredit all of us, especially the administration of this church, to be one mind and one accord, to have unity, to try and work together. Yes, there's differences, but we want what's best for the church. We want what's best for the work of God. He wants us to be turned against one another so that nothing is accomplished in the work of the Lord. Peter said it best when he said that Satan walks among us as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And dear ones, he's seeking very, very hard at this time. And if you will, if you don't mind, turn with me one more place. In the book of Ezekiel, the 15th chapter of Ezekiel, and we'll begin with the first verse. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, this is Ezekiel, "Son of man, what is the vine tree more than any tree, or than a branch which is among the trees of the forest? Shall wood be taken thereof to do any work, or will men take a pin of it to hang any vessel thereon? Behold, it is cast into the fire for fuel. The fire devoureth both the ends of it, and the midst of it is burned. Is it meat for any work? Behold, when it was whole, it was meat for no work. How much less shall it be meat yet for another any work, when the fire hath devoured it, and it is burned? The people, the Jewish people, the nation, was falling before idols, before the things of this world, lustful things, idolatry. And the Lord was telling Ezekiel, if this isn't changed, these vines, these people, aren't bearing any fruit. And if they're not bearing fruit, I will burn them as firewood. You and I, dear ones, we're the vines in this church. The vines that hold together. You and I need to work for that end. God wants to keep us close together. Let us not fight amongst ourselves. Let us try to work for the things which will prosper this church. If I'm not doing my job, if Brother Richard's not doing his job, if Brian is not doing his job, if our administration is not doing our jobs, then we should be burned as firewood. I want to see the work prosper. I want to see God in this church. And if it's only a handful of us, then so be it. But God's not turning his back. He's warning us, dear ones, to continue to work together, to help one another, to help the sick and the needy ones, to go out and search for the lost. This is our job, dear ones. This is our job. And if I'm not doing my job, I'll step down. So just pray that God will continue to do the work and that we follow him every footstep. Don't turn to the right or to the left. I see God working. I see how, dear ones, how you're working in the church trying to get together. And I thank God for this. We have to keep on going. Keep on going. We don't want the Lord's hand to pull away from us. I thank God that you're here this morning to worship the Lord, to seek his face. But dear ones, we have to seek his gifts. His gifts. We have to seek for the Holy Ghost. We have to lean to him. Open our hearts to him. There are many gifts, and I believe they're in this church. I believe you and I have these gifts. We must use them. We must use them for the work of the Lord. So many souls are out there, dear ones, lost, undone, even in our own families. We have to seek them out. Give them a call. Talk to them. Tell them you miss them. He hasn't turned his back on us. Let us not turn our backs on one another. Our God. God is an awesome God. Our God is here to deliver you and I from the powers of Satan. Yeah, he wants to get in. He's trying to bust through these doors and through the glass and through the windows. But he can't. Why? Because the Spirit of God is in this church. God is here with us, dear ones. His power, his might, his word. Study it. Know it. Fight back the powers of darkness with the word of God. I love you. He loves you. Let us work. Work to the end until he calls us home. Let's work together. In the name of the Lord be praised.